Ready for this?
I got one thing to say.
Wrestling podcast. Inside the ring. Outside the ring.
That I just happen to be the greatest wrestling machine alive.
It's all here.
What a mega matchup.
Universal Wrestling Podcast.
I like this kind of party, baby.
Welcome back to the Universal Wrestling Podcast. My name is Nick Dieterding. On this episode, we go one-on-one with Davey Richards. A really good interview, a lot of fun, but I've been teasing it for weeks. What is the big announcement? Well, you're looking at the big announcement. A new co-host to the Universal Wrestling Podcast, and he goes by Keith. Juicy Keith. Keith, what's up, brother?
Oh, we got that right. I go by Juicy or Keith, whatever you want to do. I'm very happy to be here. Really excited to get started in all this. This interview rocks. Kind of the beginning of the end of the rest of the wrestling podcast. Sorry, not sorry.
Yes, sir. Keith, let's do it. Let's conquer the world. But for now, let's get to this interview with Davey Richards. Here we go. Davey, you busted out some moves, dancing moves last week. My buddy was there live. You and Rich Swann.
Yeah.
Dancing, man. How was that?
My one and only move.
Yeah.
Well, it was fun. Rich deserves a lot of credit for performing that night because he is a new father and has experienced, as us fathers have, the joys of having a newborn in your house. And yeah, when it is your turn to get up in the middle of the night. So
nice.
He was pretty tired. And it was a lot of fun. That Chicago crowd's always really fun. I've been performing at AEW for a long time, and I just feel like it continues to grow and become more electric. And Chicago's always had a very, rich wrestling scene in history. So it was a lot of fun. I look forward to going back there October 14th to 15th.
Quick note, this may get personal for a second, but my buddy who was there said, you really have motivated him to become a better person. He lost a lot of weight. So I just want to mention that right off the bat.
Oh, fantastic. Mom, I love to hear that.
Yeah. Yeah. So what have you been up to? I mean, you got a lot going on right now.
Yeah. I have a lot going on. I wrestle full time again. Really love just falling back in love with it. Being able to do, kind of it my way, to speak. But I have a great gym that I've opened up in St. Louis with a great team, my Team Ambition stuff. I'm also a father. I'm also a husband. And I also work in the medical field still. And right now is a continued search for sleep.
But yeah, I think we all are. I got to ask you, because the news just broke yesterday. I know how wrestling fans feel, but actual wrestlers, how do you feel about the PWI 500? I just got to know.
What's the PW? What is that? I know what that is. What is that?
Stupid ranking system.
I think that pretty much answers the question.
Yeah. I love it.
Oh.
Next question.
Sorry.
So, piggybacking. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, as far as any, like, I'll answer this question with an indirect answer, my answer. So, like, I have been wrestling for a long time, since I was 10, from amateur. And when I say wrestling, I consider professional wrestling, my catch wrestling, my amateur wrestling. It's wrestling, because wrestling, what it is, it is a person's struggle to overcome their own limitations. And whether that limitation be like, I'm not good enough, I'm not strong enough, I don't come from money, I don't come from the best place, blah, blah, blah. Wrestling is an avenue for people to overcome, gain confidence, gain friendship, gain, hopefully, learn how to speak. there's so many positives, I guess, is an all-encompassing answer to wrestling, that being that professional wrestling is largely subjective. You can really, and I was guilty of this, you can really ruin it for yourself by just taking people's opinions to heart. you know, and letting that affect your journey. Because we all got into wrestling with either a performer or a fan for very personal reasons. It made you happy. It made you, it was something you did, like I did with my grandparents. I watched it with my grandparents. I gained, you know, self-confidence. I gained lessons that have served me well throughout life. You know, and now I get to see my son, you know, in going, you know, into martial arts and grappling and stuff like that, and the lessons he's learning. And so I don't want to muddy that water because some guy on the internet thinks that I suck. Okay. Yeah. That's fine. Yeah. I mean, like, so I have learned the hard way that it's, you know, those things it's fun. It's supposed to be a fun thing. But again, I get it because wrestlers and all entertainers and all athletes take what they do very seriously, as they should, because people are paying to see them. They can also get their feelings hurt very easily. And, And for some reason, man, I have no idea why, but there are just some people in the world that just are not happy people and are not people who are happy with their own lives. And man, does misery love company. So I stay far away from that stuff. What people's opinions are of my wrestling is none of my business. That's their things, because I'm going to wrestle the way I want. I'm going to wrestle the what I believe is right. And first and foremost, I'm here to make wrestling and the people within it better.
Yeah.
So you, I mean, you were touching on, you know, kind of you, this all started out for you. You were, you know, you watched it with your grandparents growing up and everything. Mm-hmm. You said your son's getting into it now. Kind of like going into that. I mean, outside of like getting into it originally with your grandparents, who kind of influenced you, got you into your style, like brought you to be the Davey Richards you are today?
So when I grew up watching wrestling, I had never seen WWF. I never saw that growing up ever. We didn't have cable. So what we got was, I'm from the Pacific Northwest. And we got Stampede Wrestling and we got NWA Pacific Northwest. So that's what I saw growing up. And I thought it was awesome. You know, my grandparents would get really into it, seeing, like, you know, Roddy Piper, you know, Dutch Savage, Billy Jack Haynes, you know, Playboy Buddy Rose, and obviously all the Stampede guys that would come and go. but then around, like, you know, I first got introduced to amateur wrestling about 10, but really got into it, I would say probably 13. And back then it was kind of like, if you were an amateur wrestling, it wasn't cool to watch pro wrestling, you know. Yeah. Whereas now everyone's cool. Everyone gets along. Cause people understand, like, man, pro wrestling never been a sport or anything else.
Yeah.
Back then, you know, this is before the internet. So I would see people walking around high school with NWO shirts. I thought it was a band, you know, I had no idea. And so I go to college on a amateur wrestling scholarship to Central Washington University out in Ellensburg, Washington. And I had a buddy who was on my wrestling team. He's like, dude, have you ever heard of this thing called Pancrase? And I'm like, what's Pancrase? And he's like, dude, it's pro wrestling. And I was like, oh, I used to watch it as a kid. He's like, no, it's from Japan. I'm like, okay. Cause that's what they marketed Pancrase as, pro wrestling, you know? And I saw it and I was like, this is badass. Like, this is what I want to do. I'm just so cool, man. The big lucky strike thing in the middle. And like,
yeah.
And I was like, so I thought that was pro wrestling. I was like, or at least in Japan, you know? So I'm like, oh, this is badass. I can't wait to do this. So my scholarship ended because all Washington State cut wrestling programs because some kid got hurt. So I'm back home on the farm that I grew up on. I'm like, man, what the hell am I going to do with my life, man? I can't afford college and I don't want to go work on this farm the rest of my life, you know? Well, there was a show on television called Tough Enough, which I'm exposing my age here.
I watched the first season of Tough Enough. You ain't exposing.
Yeah, yeah. So remember that guys like trying to run a mile and they were puking and like, yeah, and I was thinking like, I could do this stuff. And they were saying like, the guys are going to get these, they're going to be a superstar and make all this money. And I'm like, I could do this, man. This is going to be easy, you know? And, you know, so go on my dial-up internet, you know, and first pro wrestling school I see is out in Atlanta with Paul Orndorff, and I'm like, let's do it, man, let's go. So throw all my crap, you know, like, this is how stupid I am. So I had two cars at that time, okay? I had an 89 Trans Am, and I had like a 94 Mazda Protege. Now, I'm driving across country. I got no money. Should have took the Protege, right? Nope, sold that. Took the Trans Am, baby. It was broke by the time I got to Atlanta, then it broke down. So I walk in and I'm thinking we're going to learn like you know, stuff I saw on Pancrase and Paul at Orndorff, which Paul was great. You know, he was just kind of like, "The hell's wrong with you?" Because I remember, like, had to hit the ropes. I was like, "Why would I run to hit the ropes?" He's like, "Do you not know what the hell you're doing?" You know, so, but he was cool because even though it was more of a traditional format for professional wrestling, he was very sports oriented. Paul was all about being, you know, a stellar athlete. And this is a sport. So, so he definitely, thank God I found him. That was just fate. So yeah, that started my journey. And then through him, I got introduced, or through, you know, his gym, I should say, I got introduced to, you know, wrestling that I found really clicked with me. I remember I had seen Dynamite Kid at Stampede, you know, and in Portland, you know, I didn't do wrestle in Japan until someone gave me those tapes where I was like, like everyone else, I was just blown away. I was like, whoa, man, you know, because I thought it was really cool in Portland and Stampede, but, you know, obviously stuff in Japan was just like legendary. And then, like, you know, the other people that really, you know, captivated my style, you know, or captivated my attention, like, you know, really liked, like, Otani, you know, was a big, you know, big influence on me, you know, obviously. You know, Benoit and like Finley and stuff, and you know, all those guys and Malenko. But I always really liked shoot style wrestling. I always just, you know, I think that was just the first thing that kind of recaptivated me. So I always really liked, you know, Suzuki and like Funaki and like the UWFI stuff. I can see why I didn't make a lot of money because it's hard to sit through 3 hours of it, but But those are my personal tastes, you know. And since that time, when I really view myself now as carrying on like a lineage, you know. After, you know, spending a lot of time training with like Barnett and talking and wrestling like Suzuki, you know, and I really proudly carry on that lineage of like, you know, because what we do, we come from catch wrestlers, you know. We were playing nice because we wanted to make money, but we did not have to play nice if we didn't want to. And so I've really taken these last couple of years to really travel, you know, the country, you know, searching out knowledge of catch wrestling, and it's been great, man. So I really feel like I found my purpose in the business, which is carrying on that lineage.
Yeah. In my opinion, you're a big part of Ring of Honor. A new face, Tony Khan, now owns Ring of Honor. What are your thoughts about that?
It's exciting, you know, and I think he deserves a lot of respect because, he didn't have to do it.
No.
I mean, he didn't have to do it at all. I mean, like that company could have just, that company, you know, I think all three people that have really taken and put time and invested money in the Ring of Honor deserve a lot of credit, you know, but I think the top of that list is definitely Kerry Silken. And then, when Sinclair brought it out, you know, Joe Cobb, I mean, like, you know, people have his opinions of Joe, but I mean, Joe, you know, didn't have to do it either. And then now you have Tony. I mean, and Ring of Honor really had the opportunity to bow out gracefully, you know, like it was a great thing, you know, like we did our thing. And, you know, I think it really goes to show you how much Tony Khan respects the wrestling business. You know what I mean? And like, I don't know Tony Khan, never met him, never talked to him. I think it speaks very highly of him to invest in something that he knows is I don't want to say vital, but very very important to the history of pro wrestling and especially the modern era.
So, yeah,
you know, hats off to him.
Yeah,
I don't think vital is an understatement at all. I mean, I feel so much of the fan base today is probably fans because of, you know, the work you guys were doing and stuff that in that early on time. I mean,
yeah. And a lot of the wrestlers too, you know, I mean, like,
oh, absolutely. Guys,
you know, I mean, a lot of my style now, or when you're talking about people who influenced my style a moment ago, you know, I mean, a lot of those, I came into Ring of Honor so early in my career that watching guys like Brian, you know, was just kind of like, man, how do you get that good? You know, it's like you can tell the future, know what's going to happen before, you know. And so, like, so that influenced my style as well, you know. So, and those fans, you know, influence, you know, because you want to make those fans happy, and they will definitely let you know if you are doing a good job.
Yeah, you brought up Brian Danielson, Daniel Bryan, whatever you want to call him. If Tony Khan gave you a call right now and said, "We want you to be part of the new Ring of Honor," you're going to go one on one with Cesaro. You're going to go one on one with, I mean, countless names, Brian Danielson. What's the deal there, Davey? Would you?
I'm very happy at MLW. They've treated me very nice. They have opened a lot of doors. I really feel that when we talk about this forbidden door, first of all, I have to apologize. I feel like every time someone gets asked one of these questions, they never give a straight answer. But at the same time, it's like you have to be diplomatic. So I apologize. No. But
understandable.
But, I'm very happy at MLW. You know, they've treated their. I have nothing bad to say about them at all. They've been great. And in addition to them being great, they have really, I mean, if there is a forbidden door, I mean, we have really, you know, I've competed and defended the title at New Japan. I've done Impact. I've done NWA. So kind of checking things off the list, like AEW/Ring of Honor is kind of like, I got a lot of history there. And
I know
MLW is always open to do business. So we'll see what happens, man. There may be some things in the works.
I dig it.
I'm going to change this open weight title to the open door title. That's what
there you go.
I love it.
I saw you live a few times, but the most recent time was at the debut of Garden State Wrestling. Dude, phenomenal.
That was a cool show.
You went one-on-one with, going to butcher his last name.
Robert Martyr, I think.
I think he busted your nose, right? Or something. Hey, but it was.
Yeah. He's a good dude. Yeah, he broke my nose. It's all right.
Oh, he broke your nose.
There's no fixing this. My wife is stuck with this.
Nice. Yeah, that was an ass kicking just event. I mean, a lot of fun. A lot of fun to see you live. And I think I saw you a few times, Warrior Wrestling, maybe. The night before, was it the night before Forbidden Door? Were you there? I forget.
No, that was the afternoon of.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
I was boy, there. What a hellacious two. I mean, that I tell you right there, it tells you how good Tom Lawler is because I got there.
Bring him up, baby.
So I was in Seattle for two nights. Anyways, I was in Seattle the night before. And I had some 6 a.m. flight that wasn't direct to Chicago. And then I get to Chicago at 1 p.m. and the show starts at 4. And I get there. I land in Chicago at 2 p.m. Then I have to take a train to the show because it's at that college.
Yeah.
And that was an hour. So anyways, I can't remember the exact timing, but I got there right as the show had already started. Matches were already going on and we were early. So we literally, that was just kind of all right, let's go out and do it, man. It was literally one of my favorite matches, and I wrestled Tom a lot. You know what I mean? Yeah. And he's always been really good, but he's just, you know, everything he's getting right now, he's fully earned, man. He's a good dude. He's a good person.
Yep.
And, that was a lot of fun. And we were just kind of went out there. I'm like, all right, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Back to the broken nose thing. Sorry, Keith.
No, you're good. Man.
So you break your nose. Do you just hop on the plane and go home? Like, what's the deal there?
Yeah. I reset at the bathroom at home.
Oh, nice. Of course. David Richards at his finest.
Yeah.
Go.
No,
I had because I was already kind of busted up because there was this 2-day catch wrestling seminar down in Hamilton, New Jersey. That's where the Snake Pit USA is. And so I did that. It was a 2-day thing. It was a Saturday and a Sunday. The Sunday I didn't do because obviously getting face locked with a broken nose wouldn't have been that much fun. So I flew in, I did the seminar that day and then drove up, which I didn't know was going to be 2 hours. I was like, why did they fly me into Philly? And I was like, oh, no, I see why. So drove up, did the show, got my nose busted again. And then I just flew home the next day from Philly.
That sounds like something Davey would do.
Wild. That kind of leads into something I was wondering too. So I know you kind of, when you took your step away for a little bit, I mean, everything we were finding, it said one of the official releases, they said, think you were leaving to be a doctor. I know you went to, you're in EMT now, unless I'm much mistaken, or certified as an EMT, or is it deeper than that?
I've been a paramedic for about 7 years. I'm finishing up medical school.
Got it. So have you ever been in a situation on, you know, like one of those kind of indie shows where they're coming to you just like, Davey, this dude, we need you back here right away. And they pull you
all the time. All the time. There's a lot of people. I've checked on quite a few people. So MLW and it was a The skills come in handy.
That's wild. So you've also, I mean, looking back like on your, I'll call it illustrious kind of history at this point, you've had like a ton of what a lot of people would deem like dream matches. Thinking of like specifically like in TNA, you had that whole series with you and Eddie against the Hardys and the Dudleys. I mean, the Hardys in the ladder match, the Dudleys in the tables match. I know you did some work with two at least of the four pillars of All Japan with Misawa and Kobashi.
Mm-hmm.
Are there what kind of like what was it like working with any of them first of all, and like what kind of other dream matches do you still see on your horizon? I mean, I have one in mind from what we were kind of talking about earlier, but I can leave that on the side.
Working those guys like Misawa and Kobashi was just Taue and Akiyama. It was just amazing. I didn't know that the first time I ever met Masao was in the ring because they don't call stuff in the back there. The referee goes in between. And you're just kind of like, you know, I had my team over there tonight, and every once in a while we have these kind of just get togethers because we train so hard to kind of just, tonight we'll just kick back, barbecue, and we'll watch some wrestling. And they're like, is your first match in Japan on YouTube? And I'm like, yeah, I think it is. And it was like this six man tag. And I'm like, what the hell am I doing here? But on that same tour, I had wrestled like in tags, obviously, like Kobashi and those guys and Misawa and all that kind of stuff. And it was just kind of like, it was just so. So here's a funny. Here's a good story. So Yoshinori Ogawa saved my life. So Kobashi is by far he's the man. That spinning chop. The thunder is coming. Okay. So I didn't know. So again, we didn't call a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they had this spot. It was me, Misawa, Nogawa versus Kobashi, I think Gosei Ozaki and Kenta, and like in Japan, obviously. And so Kobashi's making his comeback and he's chopping Misawa in the corner. And then Misawa sells out and then Ogawa comes and he throws Ogawa in the corner, starts chopping. I'm like, oh, fuck this. I want some of this action. I want to take this, say I did it, you know? Like, so I get there and they didn't expect me, but he throws me in the corner. And then Ogawa's like, duck, duck, duck. And at the last second, I just fell his hand because he went for that spinning chop and you're supposed to duck, but he brought the thunder on that thing and he would have knocked me in the next week. But I just felt to go, whoosh, and I just go, thank you. He just saved my life, man. So, it was a great learning experience. Really, really great. And as far as like dream matches, man, you know, I mean, I think Kawada was just like one of the greatest performers of all time. That would be just, you know, him in his prime would be a really fun thing to do. But you know, I mean, my dream matches are going to be things people probably weren't interested in. Like, it'd be so cool to see that guy in there with like Billy Robinson and like, you know, Carl Gotch and stuff like that. Yeah. But as far as modern, you know, I don't follow a lot of modern wrestling, man, to be honest with you. So I got to wrestle Nagata for West Coast Pro, which was always one of my favorites. That was so awesome. Got to wrestle Suzuki. I don't know. What's yours?
First one that came to mind with me, I mean, just in that whole recent kind of thing in AEW where the Machine Guns kind of showed up out of nowhere to be in a six man, I would love to see you and Eddie and FTR. I mean, I haven't paid for an AEW pay-per-view quite yet in my life. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that or not. I maybe watch them later on. But if that was ever a match that was coming, money's there. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Those guys just not only good wrestlers, obviously incredible, but just good human beings, man. And just it's so wonderful to see deserving good people, you know, get successful on top of being extremely skilled. So yeah, I couldn't be happier for him.
Dave, you said you get together with the boys, the team, the barbecue, to watch the matches. What are the matches you put on?
So the last one we watched was
WrestleMania 32. No, I'm kidding.
No, it was WrestleMania 32. it was, I can't remember what year, but it was Akiyama Kobashi.
Yeah.
98, 98. Yeah. Just because I wanted them to see just how much Kobashi uses emotion and varying degrees of emotion. It goes through a wide range of emotions, not just pain or happiness, a lot of emotion. So we watched that, and then I think we watched it was a Ricky Choshu match. I can't remember what it was, but I make them watch old wrestling.
Yeah. Keith brought up Dudley Boys and what'd you bring up? The Hardys.
Hardys, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How was that in the locker room with them too? Obviously in the ring, it was a banger match, but like putting that match together, things like that. How was that?
It was good. You know, the Hardys were always just the most down to earth people you ever met. Devon was very kind. Bubba was very stoic because I have the utmost respect for Bubba because Bubba comes from the line of thinking, which is, you know, who are you? Regardless of what I've heard, you have to earn my respect. You know what I mean? And I can respect that. And like, so the first match, we did a series of them. We didn't get to call anything. They told us what we were going to do. And then by the end, he was like, just, okay, what do you guys want to do? Because we had earned his trust and his respect, you know? So as a whole, it was a great experience, and we have a lot to thank those guys for because they didn't have to do any of that. You know, it's kind of like Tony Khan buying Ring of Honor. You know, you have to really respect it because they do that just out of the kindness of their heart. It's not like it helped them at all. So nothing but respect to all those guys. We learned a lot. We took a lot. We gave a lot, and, you know, and we were always taken care of. And very, very professional.
I dig it.
So current MLW National Openweight Champion. I think I got that whole thing right. Yeah. Hoping to hold on to that for quite a while here. Is the door closed on tag team between you and Eddie? You guys still talking about anything?
No.
You know, I don't know if you can tell. I'm really trying to pitch for this AEW FTR.
Yeah. I don't know if you. you have not been the only one. No, we've actually started tagging more than we have in a long time here lately. We tagged at the Ric Flair's last match versus the Machine Guns, and that came off really well.
Completely forgot about that.
So did Rick.
we're tagging this weekend twice for Garden State and then for a Creative Pro. We tagged again. Oh, we've done some. We tagged for a Revolver for Sammy Callahan. It's really cool because the first time we tagged again, it was kind of like, we got a good fight because Eddie always kind of naturally grew, but we could tell it was like just, you know, here, but now it's like right there, you know what I mean? So it's really cool. And and we've actually like finally getting like matching gear again. And like, yeah, we're making this happen, man. So like, we're both excited. He's obviously doing fantastic in Impact, and, you know, I'm an MLW. But those two companies have been working together a lot. So we'll see what happens, man. It could be a really cool thing. So I hope so.
Absolutely.
Did you catch any of the shit show, the press conference after All Out? No.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't watch it, but I heard about it. And it's just like, I have nothing nice to say, so I'll say nothing. But
come on, let's hear it.
Yeah, it's whatever. We don't have too much nice probably to say either.
Well, let's ask this: have you ever been part of something like that in the locker room?
No.
No,
because I don't stand for it.
Yeah, no, I dig it.
I know. I you know. So, this is my opinion. I have been blessed with being very successful in wrestling. You know, I've made a lot of money. I've traveled and won belts and all the other blah blah blah. Because I have been given a better life, I have been given a purpose, I've been given life lessons, I've been given a legacy from wrestling. My number one job now is not contracts, dream matches, belts, money. My number one job is to give back to this sport and business that has given me so much. That's my number one job. Everything else is secondary. Everything else. When you are successful and you've been given a lot and you continually self-serve and you continually take, you are now the problem. And maybe some of your things were, your self-service was justified. Maybe some people were out of line. but that is your job to educate them. And that is your job to be a better example. And I know that because I have chosen to be a poor example in the past, you know, and everything. And I have chosen to be selfish, and I have chosen to, and this business can be very hard, because in this business, in any sport, any entertainment, you have to be a little selfish. You have to. I mean, you know, it's heartbreaking, you know, when you have to go and we miss birthdays, you know. I was on a show with Mike Bennett a little bit ago, and he was missing some time. It was like his kid's first day of school. And the guy's such a good human being. He was torn up about it. You know, it's hard. It's a hard business, but it, like, this is what we do to provide a better life for our family. You know what I mean? That's noble. There's honor in that. But when you have so much and you're given so much, and not only, and I'm not talking about money, I'm talking about influence, because you can influence this generation. You can influence them to do a better way. And maybe you do know a better way. Teach them. Mock them. Don't degrade somebody, because all you're going to do, whether you stay or whether you go, what you've done is taken your position of power and infect someone with insecurity and bitterness and apathy. And you know what sucks about that? It spreads. It's a disease.
Yep.
So my opinion is, it was the actions and words of someone not thankful and a poor role model. So that's my opinion.
Yeah, no, I dig it. Yeah. We had Ken on the show last week, Ken Shamrock, and he talked about the evolution of The Rock. I'm not comparing The Rock to Seth Rollins at all, but you went one-on-one with Seth Rollins at Ring of Honor's Death Before Dishonor in 2010. Tyler Black, did you know he was going to be what he is now?
You know what's cool about him? So obviously he's a phenomenal wrestler. He's just a good human being. He's a good dude, but man, there's someone right there who I really hope stays on as like a trainer, but also like a motivational type person, because so especially when he was in Ring of Honor, I was there obviously. And in Ring of Honor was like, it was Japan crazy, because we were so closely tied in with Japan, you know? And he was always the guy. I remember him vividly telling me this. He was like, you know, it's not really my goal is WWE. You know, and that was kind of almost like the not cool thing to say back then. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he was like, you know, my goal is WWE. My goal is not really to, like, you know, go to Japan. And I remember at that time, I was like, dude, I got so much respect for this guy, because this guy's like, this is who I am. I'm proud of who I am. And I stand on my own 2 feet. So, like, I think I'm a huge fan of his. And I just think he's such a killer dude, man. Just, you know, a true, you know, obviously a great wrestler. Come on. We do that since day one, but just a good, a good leader. So man, nothing but respect for that guy.
Keith, let me get one more question in and we can go back to you.
Yeah. No,
three matches against Cody Rhodes. Did you watch any of them? I know you don't watch much modern, right? You said,
sorry.
Come on.
I'm sorry. Nope. I'm sorry.
Short and sweet. Keith, what do you got?
Sorry.
Brother?
Sorry.
No, it's fine.
I'm sure.
Well, so great. I guess, I mean, to kind of piggyback off that, I mean, I guess, you know, watching them or not, that's fine. I mean, what do you feel? I feel like with the last one he had with him, the Hell in the Cell, when he had the torn pec and everything.
I heard about that. Holy crap. That guy's tougher than nails.
Yeah. So like, what do you feel on that? Like, because I feel like that kind of sparked a lot of debate of it was, you know, there was a lot of people saying it's like, oh, that old school, work through it. Da, 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 yeah. But other people really, like, take care of yourself.
You know, old school, new school, grad school, out of school, whatever. Every man at some point, every person at some point, okay. Listen, I know there's like these rules and these etiquettes and blah, 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 da, da, da. Listen, man, sometimes in life you got to do what you got to do. Okay. You know, it just is what it is. You know, it's like the person who steals bread, you know, they're a thief, but there's something to, you know, feed their family because their family's, you know, whatever, going through a hard time. You know, you got to do what you got to do. So, I very seriously doubt, but let's just say maybe they needed the money, you know, but more so with him, I think he did it for legacy, man. I think he did it for, you know, I can do this. I can overcome. This is a setback. Can I overcome this? And that right there is a man's struggle to overcome his own limitations. You know, and that is the essence of competitive sports, and especially wrestling, which is the oldest competitive sport in the world. You know, I mean, I had mine, you know what I mean? Everyone before they walk that curtain goes, there's that little voice, you know, like, man, am I good enough to do this? Am I past my prime, or am I too beat up? Or, you know, I had doctors tell me I'd never wrestle again, you know, cause I had a really bad knee than a botched surgery. You know, and so by the power of Cobra Kai and my own resilience, that was my struggle to overcome, you know what I mean? And that's why I just can't be anything but thankful to be in this business now, because I was told I would never do this again.
Yeah.
And even though I didn't have to worry about money, I'm a doctor, you know what I mean? Like, but it's not about that. It's about fulfillment. It's like, I was put on this earth to wrestle. You know what I mean? And that is what's going to fill my heart. So maybe that's what, you know, and if that's the way he felt, then that's off to him.
Yeah. You brought up Cobra Kai. Did you watch the new season yet?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And
oh God, I love
it,
man.
Let's hear a review.
I love it.
Come on, Dave Meltzer.
I know season 6 is, I think it's going to be the last one, but it's like, oh, it's been so good though, man. It's so good. I just started watching right before I was downstairs doing my early morning workout. And I got my exercise bike down there and I was watching, just rewatching the season 1, and like, man, that show, that's what got me back into wrestling was that show.
I was about to say that really did get you back. Cause we watched an interview. Isn't that crazy that something like that, like cinema, like a movie, like a TV show, is just like so powerful to me. It's something like Sopranos, so powerful. Breaking Bad, so powerful. But something like that to bring you back is, I don't know, else. It's what life is, you know?
Well, it's about Johnny overcoming his own self-perceived limitations, which was not getting over the past, you know, and like and just the, you know, and I just love the story of a guy who goes and screws his life up and then piece by piece puts it back together, you know. And luckily I didn't go and screw my life up, but you know, being told I'd never wrestle again was hard, man. I mean, even though I had another career, you know, and I tried to fill that gap. I mean, I became a firefighter, I became a flight paramedic, I went to medical school, and you know, and I loved all those things, and I still do. And but not being able to do, like, you know, jiu-jitsu, and not being able to do like pro wrestling, and not being able to like be athletic, it tore me apart, man. You know, I went through some pretty, you know, substantial depression because of that. And you know, and then just one surgery after another didn't work, and then a big botched surgery, and then finally, you know, at the very end of the line, I found this cutting edge surgery out in California. And like that, you know, right when I woke up from surgery, you know, my wife's like, and you know, she's such a sweetheart, she was there through all of it. I mean, like, that's a cool story. I'll remind me to tell you that story in a minute. But I knew right away, you know, I was like, I'm back. And it just like, and all of a sudden, like, all that, you know, and then I saw that Cobra Kai, I was watching Iron Eagle, and, you know, God doesn't give people things he doesn't want to use, you know. And like, I just, and like, I got goosebumps now, you can't see it, but and right away, like, you had purpose in your life, you know, like, you know, and my purpose was no longer to be famous or anything like that. It was to show my son, like, you know, your dad has this skill, your dad has this this passion in life to, you know, to be the best at what he does. And then that's all I really care about. And just everything, just the surge of motivation. If you could bottle that, put it in a cup, I'd be making millions. I'd put Ghost and Rockstar out of business. But that show, man, a lot of credit to it.
Yeah. Keith, before we get to the next question, if you are going through depression, if you have an issue and you're watching this, reach out to someone. Reach out to me, reach out to Keith. Davey, I don't want to speak for yourself, but reach out to Davey.
Absolutely.
We're there for you. We really are. Davey, you're the man. Let's go back to that story. You said you wanted to bring it up with your wife.
So when I met my wife, I had just gotten my release from Impact. And I was told, I haven't really talked a lot about this just because it's kind of a painful part of my life. But I was told, I remember my ex-wife, Angelina Love, she was there was this doctor we had at TNA, and I can't remember his name, but a great guy. And I just happened to see a text that he sent her, and he's like, you know, Davey is in phenomenal shape. He has a knee of a 70-year-old. And I just remember, I'm thinking like, man, that hurt. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of start seeing like, man, there's an end to this, you know, cause I'd always been one of the best wrestlers in the world. It'll never end, you know?
Damn right.
You know, it kept getting worse and worse. And I just, you know, And even though I had something else already, you know, I already had a paramedic license. I was already, you know, in the fire academy, and you know, and that's a very noble career, you know what I mean? And not, they don't get paid terrible, you know, but, and then, but I still, even though I may have been done with the time for pro wrestling, I still want to be athletic, but it just went downhill quick, man. It just, the knee was just like, whoa, man. And so I found this, you know, I can't really talk about it because we had this big lawsuit, and I signed a confidentiality thing, but basically there was a surgery that was promised to do great things and did not. And that took 2 years of my life, man. That took 2 years where I couldn't even walk, right. You know, I remember, like, you know, I was at one point very recently, one of the best wrestlers in the world, and me and my son and my current wife, we were in the airport going to see, you know, my mom, his grandma, and he's like, "Dad, chase me." And I couldn't do it. You know, and I remember my wife was trying to cheer me up, and she went and got a stage to see Bill Burr, a comedian I really like, in Nashville. And I remember just, and there was this, we could hear these guys fighting like a couple blocks down. And I remember thinking, like, man, I am highly trained, you know, in like submission wrestling. And if these guys did anything right now, I literally couldn't protect, I can protect my wife. You know what I mean? Just it's weird how it just, it takes away, you know, like your identity. And that was tough, man. And then, so then you have another surgery and then another. And then another, and like just nothing works. And kind of accepted it, you know what I mean? And finally there was this last thing I found called Nanone out in a Royal Grande, which is like kind of like by Bakersfield, California. And you know, just went out there, and man, right when I woke up, I was like, I'm good. And then I got food poisoning on the plane. So everyone thought I had COVID, but my wife, when she met me, didn't know that I was a wrestler, didn't know anything. She didn't know I was an athlete, you know? And, so she was there. I mean, I knew I was going to marry her. I knew she was a woman for me when I woke up from that first big surgery. And we had gone on like two dates, and then she was there, she was sleeping in a chair. And I was like, so now it's like, man, I'm going to make it. I'm going to come back and I'm going to make it, for my son and for this woman. And, yeah, it was really cool. She's definitely seen me at my worst. So it's really cool to see her like be me again, you know, and, you know, behind every strong man, there is definitely a stronger woman in my case.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
So, you know, and you know, and Angelina gets a ton of credit too, even though we're no longer married, because she is, oh my gosh, she is a mom of the century, you know, like, so I have some very, you know, some very strong women in my corner, that really hold me accountable, which is good. So, it makes doing the right thing very easy.
Right on. So speaking, I mean, kind of piggybacking off that a little bit there with, talking about your son and everything, you said he's starting to kind of get into some of the combat stuff, karate and everything.
Yeah.
If he comes up to you one day and is like, "Daddy, I want to wrestle."
Yeah.
How are you feeling about that? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, wrestling saved my life. I mean, wrestling gave me purpose. Wrestling gave me everything I have today. Wrestling gave me him. I mean, I met his mom through wrestling, you know what I mean? So, yeah. And I would just instill in him the same values, or at least attempt to, that I instill in like my students today, you know what I mean? And, you know, and it's just, you know, self before or others before self, you know, always, you know, you can get a lot out of life, you know, just by showing up, finding the hardest worker in the room, outworking them, and just listening. You know, no one who serves themselves ever succeeds in life, you know what I mean? Maybe in the short term, but it always crashes and burns at the end. So, and they always find a way to be humbled. So, so I would agree with it. Yeah, absolutely.
You said what brought you back was Cobra Kai, but when you were down and out, what helped you get through it? I know you said your son, your wife, but did you call anyone? I mean, we hear it on, you know, the big stage, Edge and Daniel Bryan, they come back and it's, you know, something, you know, crazy. The career they're having now is amazing. What obviously family's first, but what else got you through that?
Yeah, I mean, my wife definitely, but you have to be willing to accept help from other people, and I wasn't willing to do that then. So for me, it was the good thing about the fire service culture is it's very tight knit. So I had some really good friends in there, but a lot of heavy metal, I got really into playing guitar, and I really dove into school. But looking back, those were things more of like just trying to distract. And what I really should have done is opened up more. But I mean, you know, I still come from a time when that stuff was not looked upon fondly to be like, you know, open up, which is, it's horrible to say, but I'm, you know, trying to be candid here, you know, but I've since learned that time that like, you know, the bravest thing you can do is be like, hey man, the bravest thing you can do is open up about what you're going through and then ask for help and then also help yourself. So, I've really learned that. And I preach that to this day.
I mean, I guess kind of a softball one here a little bit. I mean, we talked a little bit earlier about, you know, PWI, not really knowing anything about that and kind of just opinions in general. Sorry. Meltzer in that same boat, just couldn't really care less about Dave.
No, I have nothing against him. I've never met him, but wrestling has always been a personal journey to me, man. You know, it's a very personal thing. It's, you know, like when I miss wrestling, I didn't miss fame or rankings or being on TV. I don't care about any of that stuff. You know, to me, it was always like, it's this journey, man. It's a self-exploration journey. And now is the funnest time ever, because I feel like I really get to do like what I want to do, which is like, you know, my technical wrestling and stuff like that. You know what I mean? And people seem to like it, and I get to help a lot of people along the way. So, and most of all, I've just learned gratitude. So yeah. So all that other stuff, I just,
yeah. Yeah. Right on. Like I said, you helped my buddy, man. He's looking great. All because of that. All because of what you go through. I mean, it's just, it's what wrestling is all about as a fan. I can't speak from a wrestling standpoint, but, Davey, you are the man. Let's end it on a high note. I'm going to give you some names. Just give me your thoughts.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
Bobby Lashley.
Beast.
Drew McIntyre.
Passionate.
AJ Styles.
Talent.
Dixie Carter.
Misunderstood.
Jim Cornette. Come on, I had to.
Maybe overly passionate.
Yeah, that's a nice way to put it. Nigel McGuinness.
Good human being.
Rocky Romero.
Friend.
Brian Danielson, Daniel Bryan, whatever you want to call him.
Genius.
Austin Aries.
I hope he finds what he's looking for.
Two more. Kevin Owens, Kevin Steen, whatever you want to call him.
Family man.
The last one, he's part of the bloodline. Sami Zayn.
Funny. That guy, dude, that guy, no one made me crack up more than that guy. I have literally thought I was going to hyperventilate. Him and Tony Kazina made me laugh harder. Yeah. Him, Tony Kazina, and Kyle O'Reilly, man, I haven't laughed harder with anyone. Man, those were fun times, man, back in PWG. Dude, he would do this Michael Jackson-like kick thing. God, I used to crack me up. He's such a good human being, man. Those guys, good for them, man.
I love it. Look at that. I think we should end it here on a high note. Davey Richards, it's been an honor and a privilege. Yeah, this might be a dumb question, but give the people what they want. How can they find you?
So my Twitter is at Richards Wesley, because my real name is Wesley Davey Richards. And then I have an Instagram, but it's not me. It's run by some guy who stole my account. And but I don't know. He does a great job. So, I mean, you can go follow that. It's at Davey_Richards83. But, I mean, I don't know. Never did me any harm. So, I don't care. Yeah. I don't really use it anyway. So, but yeah, that's me. So, and please check out TeamAmbitionSTL.com. We have a lot of good stuff. Anyone who's looking to train or just and we just do non-wrestling training too. We have a full gym, and you can email at teamambitionstl@gmail.com. So thanks, guys, really appreciate everything.
Absolutely.
Well, thank Davey,
you witnessed to the first thing. Keith, this is his first time. He is a new co-host of the Universal Wrestling Podcast, so it's an honor to have you on for the first episode of the new, I guess, era. So Davey, thank you again. You can find us on Twitter at the UW Pod and Instagram at UW Podcast. Peace.
Yeah, baby.
And here it comes.
Thank you for listening to another edition of the Universal Wrestling Podcast.
Let that blood up and say.
Check us out on the web at UWPod.com.
You got mail.
Or send us an email.
We really don't know what we're dealing with here, man.
info@uwpod.com. Universal Wrestling Podcast.
Nobody does it better.